Yes, Psalm 127. And if somebody would be so kind to read those first two verses for us, please. Psalm 127 in verse 1 and 2. One thing that I think churches or Christians are often accused of is that we talk a lot in generalities. Oh, we need to you know, hate evil in our life, and we need to love God and do what He says, and you know, just follow the word of God and obey it. It's like, yeah, like what actually? You know, what exactly? You know, what is the evil I ought to hate in my life and to stay away from? What is God's commandments that I actually ought to keep? I mean, you know, practically, step by step, what are those things? And the series we've been looking at in our Sunday school now for a little while on reclaiming surrendered ground. Of course, you may remember that booklet that we referenced to. I believe is a great help, a good step in that direction. And particularly in our Sunday school series, we want to emphasize on the more detailed, practical aspect of our Christian life. And many times it's not about all that we know from the Bible. Many times we may need some help or encouragement on how to practice it. How does this apply in those different situations in my life? And this morning we want to look at our home. In Psalm 127 there. Who has those first two verses for us? Thank you, brother.
Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waiteth but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep.
Thank you very much. And notice here, we can be so busy, we can labor hard, we can be super sincere, but if we do not have Almighty God, our Savior, involved in the building of our home, in the establishment of our family, the Bible says here that it is all in vain. There's a lot of effort, a lot of spinning of the wheels, but it's not to last. And I don't know about you. I don't want that to be true about my home. I don't think anyone here wants that to be true about their family. And I know as parents, we constantly pray for our children. We pray for one another. And so we need God involved in my home. All right? So that's the first thing we need to establish. And Lord willing, next week we may have a little bit of a summary of our this lesson. I may give you a summary sheet, but we'll see how far we get this morning in that. This morning, I want to talk about something that we maybe haven't heard much about in churches, and that is about dedicating your house to God, dedicating your house to God and what that entails. And I want to reference two illustrations, if you will, in regards to that. The first one we see in the life of Joshua. Of course, the very famous verse in Joshua 24, verse 15, where Joshua says and proclaims that he has determined, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they had the choice there to serve the gods of the Amorites and of these other nations, to adjust and fit in with everybody else around them, or to be different and to do declare and determine that they, with their entire family, with their whole home, are going to dedicate themselves to serve the Lord. We see that also in David. David had that desire for God's blessing on his home and his family. And I just want to read to you there from 2 Samuel 7:29, where he prays, "Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken in, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever." More than anything, I believe David, here in our example, was looking for God's blessing upon his home, upon his family. And you may have known some Christians, or you may have been involved in that yourself, that have dedicated their house or their apartment or their family to the Lord in some way. And that's a practice that Christians have practiced for, well, really hundreds of years. And in dedicating their house in particular, those residents are making a statement, for one, to the Lord, also to themselves, and really also to the forces of wickedness in this world, that this is a house that now belongs to God. And that they're committed to protecting it against evil influences. They are determined to follow the Lord in their life. And so dedicating a house in that is a reminder for them that God is present in that home and that therefore all the activities, all the entertainments, all the conversations, everything that happens within that home should honor the Lord. And that's the focus, the determination that a Christian would or should have when they dedicate their house to God. And of course, that goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 31, who would have that verse for us this morning, please? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Anybody could read that for us. And while you turn there, I want to give you the definition for the word dedicate. Dedicate. It means to set apart and consecrate to God or to a sacred purpose. To devote to sacred use. It means to give something holy to someone, to devote it or consecrate it, in this case, to God. Now, who has that verse there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 for us, please? Yes, thank you, brother.
Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Thank you. So we see here that in the Christian's life, even the most menial, most common of tasks ought to be done in the conscience of this, I want to honor and glorify the Lord with that, right? And so, of course, I've told you probably about the example of my dad. I'm not saying every Christian ought to do this. But my own father, I admire his habit. Like even before he would drink a cup of glass at home, he'd make sure to just thank God and ask for God's blessing upon a cup of water. You know, some Christians have these random rules. It's like, well, if it's a snack, you don't need to pray for grace. But, you know, once it's a cooked meal, you do. And it's just like so random. All right. Well, really, the Bible says anything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, ought to be for the glory of God. And so it expresses our desire as believers that everything that happens in our home ought to be for God's glory. And matter of fact, our whole possession, our whole home is for God's glory and dedicated for that. I want to reference two words that we find, of course, accurately translated as dedicate in our English Bible, the King James Bible. The first one is shenak in Hebrew. And one reference of that we read in Deuteronomy 20, verse 5. And of course, that's there within the law of Moses for the nation of Israel. And it reads this in Deuteronomy 20, verse 5. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. We find that same word used in 1 Kings 8, verse 63. 1 Kings 8, verse 63, where in this context, King Solomon is dedicating the temple to God as the house of God. Then we find that same word, interestingly enough, also applied, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 22. There in verse 6, Proverbs 22, verse 6. And so that's translated from the same word, again, correctly, where it says there, train up, the word train up, a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The other word is the word kadesh, which again is translated dedicate over 10 times, or about 10 times, and refers to something that is being made holy or consecrated or sanctified. For example, 2 Samuel 8, verse 11, where King David dedicated the silver and the gold, therefore the temple and so forth, to God's use, to God's glory. And so that was reserved for God, so to speak. And no one else could have it. And no other purpose could have it. So here's the important part that we need to realize, though. I think if we look at some of these biblical examples, it's a wise thing to dedicate our homes, maybe even our houses, and even our children to the Lord if we choose to do that. And if we're serious and sincere about using the possessions that God has brought to our use, so to speak, for His glory. And that we want to obey God's purposes in all of these matters. But here's an important thing we need to consider. Whether that is in a house dedication, whether that is in a baby or family dedication, as we occasionally have in church here, that's all useless, really, if we don't dedicate ourselves first, ourselves personally, to live for the Lord inside that home or before that child that we seek to rear up in the ways of the Lord. And so that's very, very important. I can dedicate a part of my income, you know, the tithe, the 10%, and any offerings and love offerings and any missions, giving commitments beyond that, as I believe the Bible encourages us throughout. We can do all of these things, but if my heart isn't dedicated with the Lord, if I'm doing that out of a life that ignores and denies the Lord, meanwhile, how does that get Him any honor and glory? Amen? And so that's important that we have that matching up. Amen? And that's where the Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians that before they did any giving, any of these other things, acts of worship to the Lord, they needed to first give themselves unto the Lord. So he rejoiced that they were willing to do that. Now, some trace the practice of dedicating a home back to the Old Testament, where we see Abraham and some of his descendants, like Jacob and Esau and so forth, Jacob and Isaac and so forth, where they would set up a special memorial. Whenever they would move to a new location or they would have a special encounter with God, and they would build and dedicate an altar or stone or some kind of memorial to the Lord. And of course, we have several examples of there, Genesis chapter 12 or chapter 13 and so forth. And interestingly enough, Abraham himself, he lived that out. He first dedicated himself to the Lord. And as a matter of fact, God had such confidence in that dedication that He knew that Abraham would command his household after him and that they shall keep the way of the Lord. He knew that he would ensure and do what he could and that his home would follow his dedication to the Lord as well. And so he was the example of that. Some look into the New Testament at the example of the Lord Jesus there in Matthew chapter 21, where he cleanses the temple there in Jerusalem, and he calls the temple My Father's House, and he drives out all those money changers and corrupt merchants. And so at that time, Jesus reclaimed that building for the glory of God by first driving out all that wickedness. And so, in a sense, that's the idea behind a Christian dedicating their home to the Lord. When they dedicate that home to the Lord, they're declaring that that place is now God's property. And they offer their house, so to speak, to God for His use. And they invite Him to use their home in any way He chooses. Whether that be through hospitality, whether that be through the prayers and the scripture reading and the worship that happens in that home to the Lord, in a godly atmosphere that we seek to establish by following the family principles in God's Word, whichever way that may be. And so I'd like to give some explanatory points in regards to that and show a little bit why this is important. Why this is important, if you want to consider that. And so the first thing we've already talked about a little bit, number one, there's great wisdom, I believe, in dedicating your life, your body, your family, and your house, basically all that you own, for God's use and for His glory. Again, the Corinthians, out of all people there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, are a bit of our example there, where they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And so that's the first and foremost step. And where we then commit ourselves to following God's wisdom in our house. You see, there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of deceits. There's a lot of worldly wisdom that will constantly try to creep into our homes. Amen? And that will try to gain a foothold and an influence in a place through all sorts of means, whether that be through social media, whether that be through movies and televisions or video games, whether that be through what we read, whether that be through with who we spend time with, whether that be through anger and bitterness and destroying trust and relationships among our family members, whatever that may be. And so we need to counter that. We need to stand against that never-ending tide of lies that will try to creep into our home. And we need to say, no, we're going to commit ourselves to following God's wisdom and to protecting our home in God's wisdom. I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 24 to explain this a little bit. Who has Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4 for us, please? Now, this is, of course, all based upon the foundation that we're talking here about somebody who is saved, who's received once and for all the gracious forgiveness of their sins through the Lord Jesus Christ, received personally Christ's payment on the cross for their sins, believes in Christ's resurrections, and who has a confidence based upon God's promise that now they're on the way to heaven and they've been rescued and saved from hell. All right? And so that's the foundation, of course, here. And so if you and I are in that situation, and I pray that we are, if not, today is a great day to get saved and trust Christ. Now we often ask, okay, well, what now? Where do I move forward from here, right? And so that's where we want to get into some practical aspects. Now, of course, this is building upon what we've already talked about, right? Whether that be freedom from occult bondages, freedom from immorality bondages, freedom from anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and all of the different things that God seeks to destroy the devil, all right? I need to get this straight here. That the devil seeks to destroy through his lies in our marriages, in our parenting and family life. God's wisdom is our shield. God's word and God's ideas are what will protect us against that and help us identify those things, all right? So that's where we're talking about here. Sorry, we have Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Who has that? Sure, thank you, brother. Thank you. Now again, we need to compare scripture to scripture. This is not an automatic promise that, well, if you love God, you're going to be filthy rich and, you know, live in a $100 mansion, all right? But at the same time, am I interested in learning from God's wisdom to build up and strengthen my home? Amen? Now let's move on here for the sake of time. Number two, in the Bible, God blessed the house or the homes of and families of his servants who determined to live for his purpose and for his glory. And we see that, for example, there in Genesis 39, verse 5, with Joseph, where God blessed Joseph, and because of that, all of Potiphar's home was blessed through him. We see that there in Ezekiel 44, verse 30, where the prophet is prophesying in regards to the priests bringing the blessing upon the home there in that Old Testament setting. Again, we've already looked at some of those examples. There'd be many more we could look at. Do we desire God's blessing? Like, do we even care about it? You see, that was the big problem with the nation of Israel, especially towards the end there of the Old Testament and during Jesus' day. They were basically prancing around all day. It's like, well, we're saved, we're God's people, and, you know, we got the covenant of Abraham, and, you know, therefore we got the temple. God would never do us any harm, you know. We can live whichever way. We don't need to bother in seeking God's blessing and ensuring His favor upon our life. You know, we're His people. We can just do whatever. And the world will just have to be stunned how God's blessing us anyhow. That's a dangerous way to live. The Bible says that God will not be mocked. Amen? And so do we desire, do we seek His blessing and favor upon our homes? Number three, and this is important to understand, blessing a house or dedicating it is something that we're free to choose to do as Christians. But at the same time, there is no specific commandment, thou shalt do this, anywhere in Scripture too, all right? And so we're just basing that upon some examples and so just some general wisdom and principles in the Word of God. In a sense, the specific ceremony of a house, a dedication, is man-made, really. And so that many people ask, well, how exactly do you do this? And really, the only thing we find in the Bible is simple prayer. Amen. God doesn't tell us to use any special items or special pictures or special holy water or special oil in some sense. And we'll look into some of prayers here that I think we can learn from in the Bible, all right, here in just a minute. And so having said that, I cannot see anything, sinful or specifically unbiblical in a house blessing as well. As I mentioned, this has been a tradition that God-loving Bible believers have followed through centuries, simply in that desire to glorify God in their home and to basically proclaim it as His property. And folks, I think that's a fairly wise thing to do, generally speaking. When we give God those things He's entrusted in our care, do you know why? Because God takes good care of His property. God takes good care of His property. Dedicate your children to the Lord. The Bible doesn't say you have to do that in some kind of official ceremony in church, but you better entrust your children to the Lord's care because He can look better after them than you and I. Amen? I think anything that we want to see God bless and prosper would be a wise thing to offer it for His blessing and for His use. Amen? God always takes good care of His property. Number four, and so now we want to get a little bit practical here. How should Christians dedicate or spiritually cleanse their house as they dedicate it to the Lord? How should Christians do that? And again, we don't find this exact commandment somewhere in the Bible, but I do think we find some helpful instructions. Letter A, and I've already mentioned this, there's nothing that indicates some specific ritual somehow that we're obligated to do that would precede His blessing, all right? The one thing that we do find is that God always blesses His people when they're living in obedience to Him. So that's an important factor. And we need to be careful there of any superstition, of course. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 14 there, we do find that the priests were involved in some of that, estimating and the sanctifying of the house and so forth for a specific purpose there. And so, you know, if you want to enlist the help of a pastor as a witness or an assistance in that, I think that can be helpful if you don't know really how to do it and you desire that for your house. But I want to move on, letter B. Remember the blessing of thinking upon God's Word. There are certain specific things that we are assured of that if they happen in our home, we can count upon God's blessings. And so I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. They're in verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Remember the blessing of thinking upon God's word. I believe God wants us to remind ourselves throughout our day and throughout our home of his words. And so we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Oh, so not just on Sundays, or only my private devotions, which, by the way, is important too, right? Turn to verse 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 9, "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And it goes on to explain there, in the Old Testament context of the nation of Israel there, God's blessing upon them as they obey his word and keep it in front of their minds and their spiritual focus. I believe it's a wise thing to do. I encourage people all the time, and you'll definitely find that in our home, to put a Bible verse everywhere. Now, it's not like some kind of talisman or something that, I have a picture of a Bible verse, so hence my house must be blessed, all right? That's not how this works. But it helps to live a blessed life, that a life that God can bless, as we remind ourselves all throughout our home of Bible verses. I remember specifically, to just make that application, as a teenager, I was struggling with some very specific issues. And it was just a dead level fight for victory every single day. And so I'd find some specific verses, whether they be from Book of Proverbs or Psalms or other verses of Scripture, Romans chapter 6, where David says, I'm paraphrasing, "With my God, I can leap over a wall," right? And verses like that, "With God, all things are impossible." And I would plaster my wall on top of my desk with that. And I'd hang them up over my bed, and just to keep reminding myself on the right thing and upon the right focus to think in truth. I believe it influences our children, folks. We could hang up movie stars or beautiful countryside pictures, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. They can be enjoyable as well. Or the countryside pictures, right? What I'm trying to say is, what influence would be more helpful upon your child? Following those movie and sports stars, or being inundated day after day after day with the truth of God's words. Amen? To this day, I could quote you several of the scripture verses I had in my home growing up, in German, of course. But that's what the Lord tells to Joshua. Then Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Amen? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." By the way, I believe if we turn to Luke chapter 10 or Matthew chapter 10 and other examples, I believe this includes also welcoming the messenger of God and listening to the word of God and the preaching of the word of God. But I want to move on to a very practical and very important point, and that is about in prayer cleansing our home. In prayer cleansing our home. Go through your home in prayer and cleanse it spiritually by removing anything that does not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned before, if you're not sure about that, or if you're seeking help with that, I encourage you, find help. You can ask your pastor, or me, or a mature Christian to help you with that, whatever it may be. We see examples of that throughout the Scripture. One in the Old Testament I like to mention is in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 4, where Hilkiah, the high priest, is commanded to clean out, to clean house, and to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And so they were worshiping the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and all that. And he burned them outside of Jerusalem there. That's some pretty serious dedication. That's some dead level cleansing. Amen? And I think it would be wise for you and I as Bible believers, as Christians today, to look around in our home and to ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, is there anything that could harm or hurt me spiritually? Is there anything here that would not glorify you? And I'm going to name a few things here in just a minute. And of course, we've talked a lot about these, so I can't go into all the details. But if you got more questions, I'd love to talk more about that next week if you want, all right? A New Testament example we see in Acts chapter 19, verse 18, verse 20, where we see the believers there bringing forth all the curious arts and their books that had demonic involvement and that was connected to witchcraft and that was not honoring and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they were so valuable, they went ahead and sold them on the market to the highest bidder because, you know, I mean, it would be a waste to throw away all that money, right? No, nope, that's not what the Bible says at all. I'm going to read this to you here, what it says in Acts 19, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also would use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, a fortune. I was just burned up there. And you know what? That was a good thing. That was a necessary thing. It was something that glorified God and helped them cut some of those old spiritual bridges and cleanse out their homes and their lives. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Amen? So just like to quickly this morning mention a few things that have... In my humble experience, have hindered people many times unawares in their home life. And so that may be all sorts of items that are involved with occult practices, often unawares. Some tourist statue or symbol or whatever that you brought from a country. Maybe that has a idolatrous history, or this little cute Buddha statue, or whatever it may be. It may be a dream catcher. I know they're very popular, but the fact of the matter is they're connected not just to, you know, beautiful native culture and art. They're also connected to spiritistic religions. And matter of fact. And again, I'm not trying to be spooky or fear people or be weird, folks. But looking back now, years, there's this one home in particular where I can basically go back just about to the month or at least the year of where a teenager brought home a dream catcher as a school project, hung it up in her room. And now looking back, being wiser in hindsight, it was literally right around that time that the sweet young lady that just seemed to be a most wonderful person ever since has been in the most disturbing spirit of rebellion. And it's caused countless harm to her own life and to her family's life. And so we need to make sure that we're on guard about these things. The same thing can happen through music. And we've talked lots about that. I refer you to Ephesians chapter 5 there, where God tells us what music He delights in our life. And that is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And making melody in our heart. Now, you may call me extreme for this, but the principle that I apply is basically, if it's not a song or music that I know what God would be pleased with in church, that we could play here or sing in church, then I probably shouldn't bother with it at home neither. Even if it has Christian lyrics of some kind, the question is, does it have God-honoring music as well? Which is music that emphasizes the melody. There's so much more we need to talk about that, but there's other examples too. There's things that could lean us to immorality. I remember talking with the parents of some teenage boys. And they look for help for some of their teen struggles. And so one of the things that I told them about is get rid of all the advertising magazines in the home. Many times there's lingerie ads and whatever else in there. There may be some, you know, some raunchy ad for a car brand or whatever else in there. And they were trying to help their boys stay safe. And so, it just sounds ridiculous maybe for one person, but for the next person, it's the greatest temptation. And so just chuck that all out. Make sure it doesn't get in the home. Or whatever it may be. Hey, if you need to block the internet, if you need to put an accountability program on there, I think that's one of the most common sense things that any Christian should have on all of their devices. As a matter of fact, I think it's quite risky not to, simply because we have to be honest and humble about ourselves and know our flesh, folks. Just because we put up a holy facade doesn't mean that we aren't capable of the most greatest debaucheries that the world lives out many times. And we may just think about it. And it's been heartbreaking when I read the story of this hotel owner down in the States who said anytime these hundreds of Christians would come to this church retreat, the subscriptions on the cable connections for the TV in the hotel room were basically just mostly turned to porn. And we need to guard against that in our homes. It may be many other things. It may be things that cause us to self-will, things that cause bitterness, that cause distrust in our lives. You know, it may be a gadget, it may be a video game, it may be a otherwise harmless hobby, but that distracts us or takes our hearts and attention and affections away from the Lord, from serving a church, and most and foremost, maybe from loving those in our home. I know a preacher that threw away his golf clubs. Say, what's ungodly about golf? Well, nothing really. I mean, I find it super boring, but he loved it. And he loved it so much that it took precedence over spending time with his kids and with his wife. And so one day he got convicted about it, and he threw him out. Once his children were all grown up, once he had plenty of time, he was retired to spend with his wife, and he picked them back up and enjoyed it. There's nothing evil in and of himself in it, but it was a danger for him that he had to realize and get rid of. And so I encourage you, especially any books, any comic books, any movies and DVDs, any video games that dabble with the occult, that dabble with anything that's supernatural that isn't clearly from the good side, from God, I strongly counsel on getting rid of that out of your home and preferably burning it if you can, or at least throwing it in the garbage. Whether that's this Marvel universe, whether that's those things like Spider-Man and what's the other guy, the black guy there? A Dark Raider, or whatever they're all called. You may think this is ridiculous, this is silly, it's just harmless entertainment. But folks, you don't see the broken lives that I deal with almost every week. We're out of time. And so we're going to finish this next week, Lord willing, where we want to look into some sample prayers from the Word of God that teach us how to pray. But folks, at the end of the day, here's the truth. As Christians, we never live in fear. We never look, for some spooky devil behind every bush. You know what we do? We learn how to live in victory, all right? And we learn how to live in that position and that power that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And that's what we pray and how we pray, all right? And so at the end of the day, whatever you need to do in your home to live a life that is dedicated, that's fully consecrated to the glory of God, that's what we need to do, amen? And that's what the Word of God encourages us when it says that the first commandment, more important than anything else. Oh, you can know everything about prophecy and have that all down. Oh, you may have more Bible verses memorized, and you may know more fact about Abraham than any of us do. But hey, where's our heart? Oh, you may give lots in the offering, and that's good, that's godly. But hey, where's your heart? Do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, all my mind? And would I be willing to do any adjustment, whatever it may take in my home, in my life, to give him the opportunity to bless and to get glory out of my home? Amen? So let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for your blessing, Lord, for your protection. And dear God, we pray, oh Lord, how we pray for your mercy, for your wisdom and your help, Lord, upon each and every family, each and every home, and each and every person here, Lord, in our church. Oh God, how we need your guidance, how we fully trust in you for protection, and Lord, we know we have the victory in you. So Father, I pray you'd help us to live in that joy. I pray you help us to practice in that freedom. And Lord, I pray you teach us how to think in your truth, Lord, and to fully love you with all our hearts. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Lord willing, if it tears is coming, we want to conclude that next week. And again, if you got any questions, if you want any help, I'd be more than happy to be there for you, all right? We'll take a bit of a break here.